Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Joshua chapter 4. Here we go. We're going to cross over the Jordan, you guys. Do you remember how it worked? When it was the Red Sea, the people coming up out of Egypt, God said, "Watch this." He split the Red Sea, and then everybody went over on dry ground. How many of you prefer that methodology? Versus the next one, when they're going to go through the Jordan River, that's a picture not so much of baptism for the remission of sin, the model of the Red Sea. The Jordan River is the boundary to go into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land, of course, is a model of the Spirit-filled life. So the second baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's a little different. The first one is see, then step. Here in chapter 3, as we saw last week, it's you step first, because that's what the priests had to do. They stepped into the Jordan, and then it parted. You got to step, and then you can see. Let's check it out and see what happens. Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. Remember, it was at flood stage. And at that location, a place called Bethbara, at flood stage, even to this day, can get upwards of almost a mile across. Pretty formidable. It came to pass when all the people had crossed over, because God had piled up the water, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan," because remember, the priests are standing there, the ark between them, and the water is piled up and they're walking on dry ground. "From the place where the priests' feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight." Question: what is a sign, a signet, that you have gone through the Jordan? In other words, if you've been baptized in the Spirit, some of us remember somebody saying, "Well, there should be evidence of you being filled with the Spirit." Now, I agree with that. But what should the evidence be? See, some would say, "Well, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is that you speak in tongues." And some say this and some say that. But remember, Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. Let's keep a close eye on this. What is going to be the sign, if you will, that we have all gone through this baptism of the Jordan? Will it be speaking in tongues? Will it be healing? Will it be any number of the spiritual gifts? Watch with me this interesting model of what happens. Here's the sign that we've come through, y'all. God says to Joshua, "Pick 12 guys, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and have them go get a what? A stone. And put it together in a heap or fitting together on the camping side or the west side of the Jordan." What will be a sign that we've crossed? With that kind of question in mind, verse 4 now. "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you, take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. So how many tribes? 12. So how many big old stones? 12. Verse 6. That this may be a what? Would you circle that? With great respect to those who really do, their heart is to really be filled with the Spirit. That's a good thing. But I want to not miss what might be a pretty powerful model. What is the sign that you've come across? Here it's modeled by 12 what, everybody? Verse 6 again. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, hey, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 7. Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial for the children of Israel forever. Now that makes pretty good sense. They're going to take these big old stones and they're going to fit them together in some sort of fashion that somebody would look at those stones and say, they didn't happen to pile themselves up. There's some design, as it were. There's some care taken. They are fit together in an obvious, deliberate manner. Hey, what are these stones, would say the uninitiated. And those that were in the know, they would say, let me tell you about what these stones are. That is a remembrance when God, at flood stage, made another trench in the water. And the water piled up and people came across. They are a sign that we have come through the baptism of the Jordan. It's a pretty good idea to mark stuff down. Many of the memorials in Washington, D.C., the Vietnam Memorial, or the Iwo Jima reenactment of raising the flag on Mount Suribachi, that reminds us of a very significant event. I think as Christians, let's do something sort of similar. How many of you know what your spiritual birthday is? And write it somewhere in your Bible and celebrate your birthday. Because when you were born again, what changed in your life? Everything. And sometimes we're just kind of slogging along. I think I'm in the promised land, but I'm not sure. And the enemy does what he can to get our heads turned down. And myopically, when we look at something that fills our attention, and that's all we can see, and sometimes we forget how awesome God is. A spiritual birthday is one of those times when you can say, I remember that day. Then you get to thinking about that. Had it not been for me making that decision to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, man, what might I have done outside of that? Mark down events in your Bible. A long time ago, Nicole and I, we were pregnant with our number 2 child. Well, she was mostly pregnant. I was only a little bit pregnant. And we had a fun time. One of our little rituals that we like to do is on our day off, we would go to the movie theater. And at the time, we lived in Sparks. And what we liked to do was go in the early afternoon, and we would catch 1 or 2 movies at the Sparks complex. And then on the very special day of July 4th, of course, you know, downtown Sparks typically has the great fireworks display. So we would find the greatest parking spot early in the afternoon, and it was a parking spot hopefully strategically located that when you could leave, you wouldn't get caught in all the press of the crowd. And then we would set our chairs down in the little lawn area in front of the Sparks multiplex. And then we would discuss, of course, the matters of the world. And so we were trying to figure out what would be the proper name for our son. And we bantied about a number of names. And one of the names that kept coming back to us was Noah. His name means comfort. Genesis chapter 5. And Nicole and I had been through several seasons of some real challenges. And we were sort of bantying that together back and forth. You think Noah, is it presumptuous of us? And we sort of felt it leading, but we weren't exactly quite sure. And then one day I woke up and then I can't remember where we were, but an address was in my brain. Isaiah 40 verse 1. Oh, that's cool. I love when God gives me an address because I hurriedly look it up and find out what's he going to say. And you know what Isaiah 40 verse 1 says? Comfort ye my people. And again I say comfort. And I wrote it down in my Bible. Confirmation of Noah Roberts' name on 4-17-04. If you were with us, what was it, two Sundays ago, the Lord led us back to Isaiah chapter 40 and we taught about comfort ye my people. And in my margin of my Bible was that date. Confirmation that Noah Robert will be his name. And a date, 4-17-04. That's cool. Revisit. Literally drive to some places or walk to some places where God moved. And if you can, if that's your instance or circumstance, take your kids. There's a place that's very special. It's a place where I got on one knee and I asked Nicole to make me the happiest man in the world. I didn't have a lot of money in those days. So I reached into my pocket, but instead of a nice bling of a ring, all I could really afford was a Hostess Suzy Q. You guys remember Hostess Suzy Q's? And we have taken our kids to that location and tell them the story of how awesome and how amazing God's favor is. Maybe some of us in this room, if it's been a while since we have felt the fullness of God's presence, perhaps, let me invite you to take a page out of Joshua chapter 4 and literally go and stand in some places where God did a great work and remember. Pretty powerful stuff. Remember how good God is and how faithful. Amen? But let's get back to our story. We are coming through the baptism of the Jordan, a model of the baptism of the Spirit. And in some places and denominations and understandings, well, what is the sign that you've been filled with the Spirit? We're looking at a model. These are stones taken from the midst of the river and stacked up in a unique sort of way, verse 8. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And he carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. If you will, these are the visible stones that everybody is going to see. But we're not done yet. Look at verse 9. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Remember, the priests are still standing there, and the water is still a great big trench. In the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. When they're done, Joshua beckons the priests to come on across. They do, and then the water is going to flow again. And when it does, these stones that are in the midst are going to be covered with water and you can't see them. So we have stones on the shore that everybody can see, the visible ones. And when those who know what happened and know the full story and they look at the stones that they can see, then they look to the middle of the midst of the river, they likely cannot see those stones. They are invisible, but are they there? To the knowledgeable, they remember. That's the power of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, the leading of the Lord, all that is summed up in that awesome display of His supernatural power. I don't see them, say the uninformed, but to the informed you can say, oh, they're there. When we revisit, remember our visible monuments? Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I can conjure up that picture of that place where I asked Nicole to be my wife. That's the visible reminder. But there are deeper stones that I can't see. They speak of stones that you may not see, but you gotta know that they are there. Do you know that in the New Testament, Timothy, probably one of the more important helpers that Paul had, and he trained him. And eventually Timothy will take over the church at Ephesus, and many scholars believe that that was one of the largest churches of the New Testament time. And Timothy was evidently kind of timid, and he was perhaps even given to melancholy, or maybe even depression, certainly discouragement. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, Paul says something interesting to Timothy in his letter. Hey, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. When they would lay hands on guys like Timothy, it was commissioning. It was basically saying, this is what the Lord is doing. There's a mantle of sorts. There's a calling, to be sure. Paul says to him, Timothy, don't forget and don't neglect the gift, spiritual gift, that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Remember, Timothy. Can you remember? Yeah. Well, those are the stones you can see. What does it mean? That the stones you cannot see are still there. You are a man of God. Walk in that gift. And he wasn't done in 2 Timothy. Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, stir up. There he is again. Evidently, Timothy had this propensity to kind of wind down in the mission and the ministry. And Paul had to say, call up the videotape of the guys laying hands on you. Do you remember that? I do remember that. Timothy, those were the stones that you can see. But they remind you of the stones you cannot see, but they're still there. God parted the Jordan. God has said to you, this is your ministry or this is your calling. Don't let it go. Amen? Verse 10. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people. And according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben and the men of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, back in Numbers 32, Reuben and the Gadites and a big portion of the tribe of Manasseh, they didn't want to go into the promised land. They said, you know, Mo, we're okay over here. We've got everything. We've got a burgeoning livestock industry. And remember how we said a couple weeks ago, fast forward the film some 1,400 years later, the Gadites, the Gadarenes, were in what kind of industry? The pig industry. And what were some of the problems there? They had demonic shenanigans just going nuts in the place. In fact, there were a couple fellas that had 6,000 demons. If you're saved, as it were, you've come through the first baptism, the Red Sea. Praise God. But God says He wants you to go deeper. The Spirit-filled life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come into the promised land. But there will be many Christians who say, I got my fire insurance. You know, this is about as far as I want to go with God. Now, is God mad at them? Now, Moses, in Numbers, he was upset. But God said to Moses, Moses, it's okay, man. It's all right. If they want to settle outside of the promised land, go ahead and let them. Well, here's Joshua remembering, everybody's heading over the Jordan, and they might have been looking over their shoulder, hey, how about the Reubenites or the Gadites or the guys of Manasseh still? We're good. One thing that the Lord said for Moses to speak to these tribes, when we have to kick out the usurpers of the promised land, you have to give us your armies. And so they do. The half-tribe of Manasseh, they crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. Right, Numbers 32, verse 13. About 40,000 of these Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh and Reubenites, prepared for war, crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Hold your finger here. I want to show you something cool. Join me in the book of Matthew chapter 3. You might get a kick out of this. It now opens up a little section. Look at chapter 3, look at verse 1, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. And right in your margin there, John 1 verse 28 says they were at Bethabara. Does that ring a bell? That's the same place where all the people crossed over under Joshua. This is where John the Baptist is baptizing. Verse 2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who spoke of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's Isaiah chapter 40, by the way. And that's where God says there's going to come a voice crying in the wilderness. That's who John the Baptist is. Prepare ye the way of Jesus. Wasn't that what John the Baptist was doing? What does your Bible actually say? Prepare the way of the Lord. Notice capital O, capital R, capital D. What is that? That's Yahweh. That's the I Am. That's the YHWH, the eternal existing one. Wait a minute. I thought John the Baptist was saying, prepare you the way of Jesus. Is he Jesus or is he God? He's both. Verse 4, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, very scratchy. And camel's hair, of course, is a signet that he was like sackcloth or mourning, if you will. With a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. This could very well be locust crickets, but there are also plants in the air that were called locust plants. Verse 5, the original Bear Grylls was John the Baptist. Verse 5, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. They're in the very same place where Joshua is that we're reading currently. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oof. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just watch, repent. Verse 9, and do not think to say to yourselves, you know what, we don't need to listen to this coconut. We are the descendants of Abraham. Meaning, look, we're Jews. Our ticket is punched directly to heaven. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these what? What stones was he pointing to? That's right. Back to Joshua. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 15, Joshua chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.